This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The news out of Flint, Michigan today goes like this. They're about to get water by the truckload, 175 truckloads, in fact. Walmart, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, and Nestle all said today they are donating a combined 6.5 million bottles of water to school children. There should be enough to last them the rest of the calendar year. Elsewhere in the American water economy, Congress has decided to spend a big chunk of money on pollution cleanup in the Great Lakes to keep them healthy and to keep them economically relevant. The Great Lakes Basin is one of the most water-rich places in the world. But the challenge of late has been how to turn those water riches into actual riches. Sarah Gardner looked into this notion of a water economy.
10 years ago, John Austin started asking the question, what would be the economic impact of cleaning up the Great Lakes? After 2 years, Austin and his colleagues at Brookings came up with an answer.
If you restore water, if you clean it, and if you reconnect to it, it's a huge economic development engine.
An engine worth $50 to $80 billion, they figured. If water had powered the industrial economy, why couldn't it power a modern economy as well? Everything from lakefront tourism to new technology that cleans or saves water. Nowhere are they testing the idea of a water tech economy more urgently than Milwaukee. Dean Amhouse is president and CEO of a trade group here called the Water Council. It's headquartered in a renovated warehouse just off the Menominee River, a waterway central to the city's industrial history. The ambitiously named Global Water Center anchors the development.
So we have 17 acres that could handle about 1 million square feet of businesses here.
Milwaukee is developing a large cluster of companies devoted to solving the world's water woes. Amhouse says they're building on expertise that's been here for decades, the companies that serviced beer makers and other industrial water users.
So those big, large breweries, many of them gone away, but the suppliers continue to grow and develop. And these are the ones that are making the pumps, valves, meters, pipes, fixtures, all of those gadgets.
Companies that know how to move and measure water, like Badger Meter, a company that's been around since Teddy Roosevelt was president. Back then, it was selling frost-proof water meters to utilities. Today, it's selling them wireless meters that connect to your smartphone so you can monitor your water use in real time. Vice President of Engineering Fred Begale.
Hundreds of utilities that we typically would not have had as customers coming to us now. California, Arizona, Nevada, those are the hot spots, as well as Texas.
Drought is also driving business for startups here, like Wellintel. It's making a device the size of a food processor that lets farmers and others monitor their groundwater levels online. And again, in real time. Co-founder Nick Hayes.
California is important. 70% of what we've shipped has landed in California, but it should also be said that every single state has stressed zones.
So you have a water-rich region selling solutions to the water-starved and the water-polluted. This city has a lot of experience with dirty water, says historian John Goethe. Goethe is standing on the banks of the Milwaukee River, now lined with high-priced condos. But a century ago, tanneries here used the river as a garbage dump.
So you have all the waste from the tanneries and the sewage from upstream and the city proper kind of sitting here, and on a hot day, this stuff would just sit here and cook.
Good riddance to that kind of pollution, but this new water tech industry can't replace the manufacturing base those polluters created. Tens of thousands of factory jobs are long gone, and Milwaukee is one of the poorest cities in the country because of it.
I don't think it will be Alice Chalmers. I doubt there will be 20,000 jobs based on water, but I think it will be an important addition to the 21st century economy.
There are those who dream of a Silicon Valley of water here, fueled by entrepreneurs and PhDs from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's School of Freshwater Sciences. But Silicon Valley also has no shortage of high-flying investors. Leon Cheptitsky, head of Stanford's Water in the West program, says water has yet to attract that kind of money.
Water's just cheap, which means that there's low incentives for efficiency. And then given the low price of water and the capital-intensive nature of the sector, it's hard to generate huge returns on investment.
If water weren't so cheap, with prices based on supply and demand, Great Lakes champion John Austin says that could spur a Great Lakes boom of sorts, a boom of Southwesterners moving to where the water is. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.